We choose to praise you now. Now. Because you're God. And Lord, in a few moments as we turn our attention to your word, may our hearts be wide open. Even as farmers are planting seed, gardeners are getting their gardens ready, may we receive the word of God this morning, and may it produce righteousness in us and through us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and all those who agreed said, amen. Amen. Now you may be seated. Thanks, worship team, for serving us once again. In a few moments, we'll get to the preaching, but it's Mother's Day. Did you notice? It's Mother's Day. If we can switch over to there we go. Mother's Day, May 8th, 2016. Lovely. So, happy Mother's Day to mothers. Beautiful. So, now, to honor mothers, I had a mother. She's with Jesus now. I guess she's still relationally my mother. So I was blessed by mother. I find myself as a pastor on Mother's Day and Father's Day. I pray for people who are in our congregations who maybe because of brokenness, some level of brokenness, didn't have everything that they had wished they had had in a mother or a father. And that happens in a sin-cursed world, doesn't it? But I remind you a couple of things, that we know that God is our Heavenly Father. But there's that tenderness from Jesus. When he was coming towards Jerusalem, he said, how I wish I could gather you as a hen gathers its chicks. There's a tenderness and a care that comes from God in spite of the brokenness of our world. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God that even though sin sometimes breaks things down on earth, we have the ultimate example of love, care, and nurture from God expressed through Christ Jesus, and we're grateful for that. And so I pray that for all of you. And we do want to honor mothers this morning. That's a good thing for us to do. Now, I don't know if you'll find this honoring or not. I actually really like it. But let's watch this little video that talks about mothers as superheroes. So mothers enjoy.
Spring. Only one hero can save her family and prevent disaster.
Mom, we're gonna be late for school.
I don't think so.
Whoa.
Experience the phenomenon that critics are calling inspiring.
Mom, I can't find number 17!
Come on, Billy! Dig deep!
A lot of fun. And pure genius.
Mom, where's my phone?
Table.
Keys.
Bedroom.
Dragon Man.
Under the couch between the monkey and the flip-flop.
How does she do that?
Created by God to demonstrate his love with grace, elegance, and poise.
Have you seen my butane torch?
There will be a little gift to mothers on the way out this morning. So you come to church, you get a gift for being a mom. But I want to do a couple things this morning if we can, and I'll need a little bit of cooperation. So I'd like to recognize a few specific moms. I'd like to recognize the most recent mom. So, if anyone gave birth in 2016, stand. 2015, stand. I thought we'd have one. So, come on up, and let's congratulate our most recent mother. A little applause, come on, a little applause. Surprise. No, okay. If that had gone differently, I would have been really surprised. I was pretty sure I knew who the most recent one. Now, ladies, mums, I'm going to ask you all to stand. Every mother, please stand in the room. Every mother, please stand. I want to find out who is the mother of the most children. So I'm going to start naming numbers, and if it's your number or less, then you can sit down. So I'm assuming you all have at least one child because you're standing. That's lovely. Remain standing if you have mother of two. Remain standing if you're the mother of three. Four. Five. Six. How many? Whoa! Okay. That's wonderful. That deserves some kind of a plant. Excellent. Now, this next one, mums may not want to admit to this one. This is one where I could get myself in a lot of trouble. I changed my order just in case we had a tie, and I'd have to give two flowers to two different people. So I'd like us to honor the, now, the biblical term, this is in the Bible, is well advanced in years. So I'd like to honor our oldest mum present this morning. So ladies, would you stand up again? Stand up, all ladies stand, all mothers stand up. If you are 40 or less, you may be seated. If you're 50 or less, you may be seated. 55, 60 or less, may be seated. So I don't know where to, so I'll go 65 or less, be seated. 66. Because you all look like you're 39 to me, so I'm confused. I'm confused right now. 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80. 81? They're staring each other down right now. 81? 82? 83? Okay. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask. Two flowers. There you go. You may be seated. So mothers, we do honor you. And in a moment, I want us, before we get into the word, we're going to pray for you. A little Mother's Day poem. Maybe I forget at times or choose not to see the ways in which you've sacrificed and how you've valued me. Even though we don't take notice of the many things you do, remember today and always that we love you. So can we just pray for moms today? Present, not present. Lord, we thank you for those who have sacrificially loved kids. Mothers who, it seems like, go for years without having a hot meal because they're serving others. We thank you today for mums who are present in this place. Some have moved beyond mum to grandmum stage. We thank you, Lord. We honor them for their lives, for their love, for their sacrifice. We pray, Lord, for every mom, especially those who are still raising children in the home, that you give them wisdom and strength and grace and peace. May they realize that you are their portion and that you would help them in the role that you've called them to. Lord, we thank you because mothers are nation shapers. Mothers are shaping the lives of those who will lead, those who will serve in our community. So God, we thank you for them today. We pray your blessing upon each and every one of them. And we ask this and agree together in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen to mums. Now, if you have a Bible, and I need to apologize to Pat and MJ again, because I changed my order again. So the text you have in your bulletin will not be the text we're looking at this morning. But if you do have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. It's good for us as a church to honor mums. And so we do that, hopefully not just one day a year, people. We should honor them all the time. I love that line from Philippians 31 where it says, husband and children, rise up and call them blessed. Recognizing the goodness and the good deed and character of mums. So it's appropriate and good that we honor mums because we believe mums are worthy of honor. Amen? And that word worthy should be making some sense to us these days because we're in the book of Philippians and we're talking about this idea of worthy. Back in chapter 1, verse 27, Paul appeals to the whole church and says, I want you to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. And remember, I used that very poor illustration of a scale from the old marketplace that would have had a large beam with two trays on either side where you did business in the marketplace. And so if you were ordering some weight in beans or rice, they'd put the weight on the one side. And the word worthy means to bring up the beam. So we live in response worthy to the gospel. And so we're in the book of Philippians saying we want to live lives that are worthy of the gospel. That happened in chapter 1, verse 27. And as you continue to read through Philippians, we find different ways where this is illustrated. How it looks to live a life worthy. Now, this morning, we come to these two verses in Philippians chapter 4. Now, they happen to involve two ladies. And I'm not doing it just because it's Mother's Day, although I guess it is appropriate. These ladies on one scale can be role model, on another scale, not role model, but they do typify what happens in church from time to time. So we come to this passage, chapter 4, Paul's going to begin to wind up this letter. He's been writing to a group of people. So again, use your imagination with me to put yourself in the setting of an early church receiving one of Paul's letters. In some ways, it would have looked just like this morning because it'd be just a random group of people, fellow Christ followers. In another way, it would look radically different. They wouldn't be sitting in an official church building. They're probably gathered around a courtyard, a large room of someone's home. And they have a letter that comes from Paul. So chapter 1, verse 27, live a life worthy of the man of the gospel. Now, we come to these two verses, Philippians 4, 2 and 3. And we're going to leave the scripture on the screen, please, the entire time. And we're just going to walk through this slide. And a few words, in a few moments, will guide our thoughts. Paul writes, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, and whose names are in the book of life. So as Paul's writing this letter to the church in general, calling them in general to live a life worthy of the gospel, he comes to this portion of the letter and he introduces the names of two women who were in the church in Philippi. But the first word we want to look at is this word entreat. He addresses it to both ladies individually. He could have simply said, I entreat Euodia and Syntyche. But here he says it to both. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche. Entreat. An important word. Paul is making a special, personal, passionate appeal to two individuals. Entreat. Entreat. This word is a strong word. It's not, oh, by the way, had this random thought. Here's a mild suggestion. If you think about it. No, the word entreat is a strong, strong word. In the Greek, it's parakaleo. It's translated in English in different ways. Here we have the word entreat. Other places it shows up, it's translated to call to or to call for. Appeal, exhortation. An exhortation is a strong word that's wanting a response to come out of it. Or implored, plead, even beg. So when Paul writes this word entreat, it's a really strong word. He's bringing emphasis and attention to two people. It says, I am begging you. Now, most of us don't like to beg. We are far too proud and sophisticated to beg. But if something's really, really important, you will beg for it. You will plead for it. So when Paul says this word, entreat, it's a strong, strong word. Paul's calling them to action. He's calling them to respond. I beg of you. I plead with you. I implore you. Get it? Strong word. Strong word. Now, because we're all bright people this morning, it's enough to say it's a strong word. He's appealing to them. He's begging them. He's entreating them to do something. Well, what is it that he's begging, imploring, entreating them to do? I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to, second word this morning is agree. I'm begging you to agree together. He's calling to two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, and he's calling them to agree on something. So let me paint a picture for you this morning. We don't know exactly what has happened. But can I tell you this morning that in a church, stuff happens. Paul doesn't give us the details. But Euodia and Syntyche, at this point in time, at this season in time, they are no longer in agreement. There's division. Now, we're sitting here in a church sanctuary, but use your imagination. A church family that's probably gathered in a large home, a large courtyard, around a large tree, wherever, they're all together. And again, when this letter came to the church at Philippi, it didn't show up in a Bible bound in leather with all the other books. It showed up like this, a scroll, a letter. A letter that was written on papyrus of the day. And they're sitting around. They're sitting around. They're excited because they've heard during the week that a letter has come from Paul. And Paul is their spiritual father. Paul's the one who had brought the gospel to Philippi. It began with the Philippian jailer and his family coming to faith in Christ, and the church has grown. So they're very excited to receive this letter. And as the letter's unrolled and read, they've already heard that word in hour 127, where Paul says, live a life worthy of the gospel, in a manner worthy of the gospel. But if you can imagine how this church is sitting together in this day, in my imagination, see, Euodia is sitting up where Eleanor is. I'm not sure. Syntyche is sitting way over in the back where Michelle is. They haven't sat next to each other in church in a long time. We don't know what happened, but hear me, stuff happens in a church. We don't know what happened, but something's happened. So can you imagine on that morning? Or evening, the letter's being read. And I can just imagine when the pastor, leader, he gets to verse 1, he's read verse 1, and then there's a bit of a pause. Oh. He's thinking to himself, this is going to be interesting. He's probably looking very much at the letter and no one else. I entreat Euodia. And Euodia goes, what? That's my name. And I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. And everybody is looking at their sandals. They don't want to make eye contact with anybody. Can you imagine that moment? We don't know what happened, but stuff happens. Stuff happens. I was in Montreal this week for our general conference, and I have a good friend, a very close friend. And even though we live on different sides of the nation, God brought us together, and our friendship has been a gift from God to each other. It has helped us. It strengthened us. But some stuff can happen. Like, stuff can happen. And I'll confess, there was a moment, I was dying to see him, but we haven't been together in a long time. And we can all have pettiness in our hearts. We can all have insecurity in our hearts. And my friend, he's pastoring a large church. He has served on our national general executive, so God's put him in places of leadership and significance. And I was so happy to see him. And he was standing with another mutual friend. I went over, I gave them both a hug. So good to see you. And then within seconds, someone else came and grabbed my friend's attention, and he turned away to that conversation, and I was an immature jerk. I thought, oh, well, I guess he's got more important people to talk to than me. Nothing he did, me. My own insecurity, my own pettiness. Meanwhile, I have this incredible conversation with this other friend who 2 years ago in Saskatoon at conference, the Lord gave me an opportunity to sit down and speak with him and his wife, who are pastors, who are going through just a really tough time. And I just was sharing time with them. And so Terry said, Mark, you'll never know what that conversation meant to us 2 years ago. We left conference with hope, and we weren't going to give up. And I didn't realize the impact of my words. But my friend's still talking to somebody else more important. Only what I'm seeing it. And so I began to walk away. I walked away, and my friend, he chased out, Mark, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. Just tired. Lie. Just tired. Lie. I said, let's have supper. We wanted to have supper, just the two of us. But this third friend ended up being part of the meal. It was a great meal, wonderful meal. On the way back to our conference, I said, Jonathan, we have to talk. And I need to apologize to you. You have no idea. But earlier, I was a petty, immature, insecure jerk. I had a response, and he says, Mark, you don't understand. He was pastoring at a church that was really difficult, and we tried to walk together through it. But 4 years ago at our general conference, in a conversation, I had said something to him that wasn't meant to be negative at all, but he had gone through such a serious season of brokenness where people had kind of turned on him that he mistook my words for lacking judgment in him. He says, Mark, I've been carrying this for 4 years. I told my wife that I wasn't going to leave Montreal until we had talked. So my wanting to clear up a stupid thing on my response in that moment gave opportunity for us. And that 15, 20-minute moment of the two of us hugging and loving each other, and a little bit of tears in the outer foyer of the conference center in downtown Montreal, became a highlight of my week this week. I don't know what happened to Euodia and Syntyche, but stuff happens. Innocent things happen. But if we're in a place of brokenness, if we're in a place of insecurity, if we're in a place of woundedness, all of a sudden we react to things in ways that are not good. And division comes in there, and it splits us. So with Euodia and Syntyche, I don't know what happened to cause them to disagree, but I know that stuff happens because I've been in church all my life. In fact, as a pastor, you'll judge me for this. I used to have people come into my office once in a while and complain about how the church was imperfect. And they'd come to my office and tell me all the things about why the church is imperfect and all the problems of the church. And I'd let them go for a while. And I'd stop and say, you know what? You're absolutely right. Well, now they're excited because the pastor's agreeing with them. And I said, and you know why the church isn't perfect? And now they're, yeah, I want to know why. And here's where it got a little tense. I say, because you attend it. Now, and then I'd wait about 20 seconds. The red goes up the neck. And I said, and so do I. This church is not perfect because you attend it, and so do I. And every time I walk in those doors, I bring my imperfection with me. That's why the church is not perfect because it's not imperfect because of the board or the pastor. It's because each one of us bring our imperfection to the church. So Paul, writing to the church, and on the Sunday morning, he goes there. Paul, you're not going to go there. Oh, yeah, he's going there. In the public letter to the whole church, he now calls names. Euodia, Syntyche, agree in the Lord. I want you to fix whatever's broken. Because when we are divided, we are not living up to the unity that Christ prays for his church. When we are in our little spats, now listen, I don't know what it was with Euodia and Syntyche. They could have been on the decorating committee and they disagreed on the color of the carpets of the car, the curtains of the carpet. And one wanted blue and one wanted red, and they're just mad at each other because the red won and not the blue. Or maybe it's the name of the new women's ministry. And they both made suggestions, and one of their suggestions wasn't chosen. Or maybe the one's daughter was chosen to play Mary in the Christmas play, and the other's daughter wasn't. I don't know what it was, but I know stuff happens in the church. And guess what? It happens at New Hope Christian Assembly too. Because we all bring our imperfection through the door. And sometimes if we're tired, if we're weary, if we're insecure, whatever it is, little things happen, and we step into it. Paul says, I want you to step out of it. I want you to agree in the Lord. I want you to realize that, yeah, we all have differences. Listen, we have different styles of music, of dress, whatever. Don't let those things divide you, Paul says. I entreat, I beg, I appeal. I implore you to agree where? In the Lord. Which in my interpretation says, get over yourself and agree in the Lord. Listen, if all you're thinking about is what I think, what I feel, what I need, what I want, if that's the only filter you use, then there's going to be all kinds of problems and all kinds of divisions. But Paul says, I want you to agree in the Lord. So can you imagine that Lord's Day as the church gathers, how quiet it got at this point in time? And Paul doesn't stop there. He says, and I ask you also, true companion, probably speaking to the pastor of this church, help these women. Third word this morning is help. So he's appealing directly to the two ladies, get it together, as I keep on pointing to Michelle and Eleanor. They love each other. There's no problem there. Is the pastor meddling with something? What happened? I just use them because they're divided, okay? He appeals to them, get it together. But then he says, okay, Gina, help them. Help them. Ross? Help them. Oh, folks, we don't like to do this. We want to stay on the sidelines. Nobody likes a cat fight. Stay in the... Paul says, you help these women. So if I know that there's been a broken relationship, there's been division, Paul says, help them. Help these women. Help them to come together. Don't stand back. Don't talk about it. Don't go all junior high and pick sides. Right? That's what junior highs would do. Well, I'm on Michelle's side. That Eleanor. Heavy. Yeah. I'm on Eleanor's side. Oh, that Michelle. Like, don't. That, folks, listen to me. Heard this from an old pastor once. I don't care if you're on the right side or the wrong side. If you're dividing the church, you're in the wrong. If you are causing division, you are wrong. If you're causing a division, if you're not helping, you are wrong. Paul says, help these women to get along. Do what you can to bring the peace. Do what you can to help them come together, because you can't ignore it and hope it goes away. Sometimes in the church, we hope it goes away and we pretend it's not there, but it's never been dealt with. And it's still there. Because one wrong bump in the foyer, poof, it all blows up. Oh, church, this is, and can I just say this too? Because the men are going, oh, those women, they're sure getting a message this morning. This is not for women. This is for all of us. It's not just women. It's for all of us. Men do this in the church too. We just are more quiet about it. How are you? Fine. Everything good? Yes. This is not just a woman issue. This is a body of Christ issue. Remember, New Hope Christian Assembly is not perfect because you attend it. Well, don't have to amen that part. And so do I. And we bring our imperfection to this place. And Paul says he would, listen, folks, if you are in a place where there's something divided, something broken between you and somebody else, I entreat you this morning, agree in the Lord. I implore you, I beg of you, agree in the Lord. And if you know of something, then help these men or help these women to get on together. That's important. My job's not done yet at New Hope. I'm still about helping encourage you for the next season of your life. And this stuff preaches. This is. I don't know what it is, but I know stuff happens in the church. And we can't ignore it and hope it goes away. Paul says, deal with it. To the individual, agree in the Lord. To those in the periphery, help them. Now, be careful how you help them. Don't be a jerk about that. Have wisdom and prayer and sensitivity, but do your best to bring things together, because that's what Jesus is praying for. So, I love this passage. I know it's only two verses, but help these women who have... Now, listen, Paul, as he writes this, reminds Euodia and Syntyche and the whole church of their history. Remind these women what? Who have labored, next word. These are not fringe women who are not committed. These are committed women in the church, committed members of the church. Not just, it could be men too, but they've labored. They haven't just sat back and warmed a seat in the church. They've been part of the workforce of the church. And by the way, one of my prayers for New Hope is that no one is just a bench warmer in New Hope. God's got something for every one of you to do. Lean into this new season for New Hope. Get involved. Find where God's called you to serve in the context of New Hope. They've labored. They've given of themselves. Sweat and blood. They've put their energy and their heart into the ministry. They have labored, Paul says, and they've labored side by side. These two ladies are now sitting on the opposite side of the church from each other because of whatever happened, stuff happens. Paul says, there was a season where you labored and you were side by side and you were rubbing elbows and shoulders. Sorry, Gina. I mean, you were so close. You were physically together in this thing, the gospel. Remember that. Remember those days where you labored side by side with me in the gospel together. These ladies have a great, great track record. They've been workers in the church. They did it side by side, so close that they were able to rub shoulders and knock elbows. And they did it together in the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings us together. And Paul says, not just them, but with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers. I mean, they've been at it. They've contributed. They were in the body doing. They're busy. Listen, don't just be busy, but be busy for Jesus. Don't just be busy. Our world makes it way too easy to be busy. Be busy about the gospel. Alaric reminded us to stand up for Jesus. Be busy for the gospel, he said. And whose names are in the book of life. So just a little observation here. When Paul's writing this letter from prison, the two ladies, the relationship has been split, severed. There's been division for whatever reason, but stuff happens. And as Paul's appealing to them to get it together and for the church to help them to be together, he then reminds them of all they have in common. They've labored side by side, together, in the gospel, with the rest of the body of Christ, and the cherry on top, I hate saying that because I don't like cherries, unless they're fresh cherry off the tree, but the cherry on top is that their names are in the book of life together. Oh, folks, here's the simple truth of the matter in terms of a journey statement for this message. What we have in common together in Christ is so much bigger than anything that might divide us. What we have in common through Christ Jesus is so much bigger than whatever might divide us. Whether it's, well, you hurt me with your words. I hurt my friend with my words 4 years ago. And I remember the conversation, and from my perspective, I was reporting on something. And when I said those words, though, he felt like I had turned on him and that I was believing somebody else and not him. Sad, isn't it? And I walked away because I thought, he's too busy with more important people than me. Get over yourself, McKnight. Get over yourself. We are brothers in Christ. We and my friend, we have labored side by side. We've rubbed shoulders, knocked elbows. We've labored together in the gospel. And our names are together in the book of life. We have so much more in common. Why would you let petty things divide you? So I think the message is pretty obvious this morning. We need to strive to agree together in the Lord. Amen? And again, folks, strive to be agreeable. Strive to be agreeable. Now, I have felt this in my heart so strongly this week. And then I had my own personal experience with this thing going, oh, yeah, thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder. Thank you, Lord, for doing something between my friend and I. Stuff happens in the church. Stuff happens in New Hope Christian Assembly. It's not perfect because you and I both attend here. I said this in the last time I preached, and I say it again. I don't want to be a one-tune singer, but I need to keep singing the song. God has been really faithful to New Hope. He's brought us to this season, a prayerful, proper process. And then last Sunday was, from all accounts, a wonderful day in the house. A sensing of God being up to something. An affirmation, 92% from members and 100% from adherents saying, yes, we believe this is the person that God's called to be our new pastor. And then our new pastor, as he prayed about it, felt thinking, yes, this is what God's up to. This is exciting. This is good news. This is wonderful news. Who hates wonderful news in the church? The enemy. The enemy doesn't like new news, good news in the church. He wants to hinder and destroy and distract us. So folks, I think this message that I'm preaching appeals for any season in the church. I think it applies even more so for a significant season of transition. That we realize that, you know what, we may not agree on everything, and that's okay. That's okay. I mean, I know that some of you have different opinions on which is the jewel of the Caribbean. I know that. I know different people think a different isle is the better island. I know that. Don't point, don't talk, don't get your banners out now, or point to the flag. We can have differences of opinions, and that's okay. But Paul, the scripture, calls us to be agreeable. What we have in common is so much bigger than what could ever divide us. And folks, sometimes it's more serious things. Sometimes it's silly things. It's silly things. Someone says something or does something, and we take offense. Oh, I can't believe he talked to me that way. And we take offense. And it goes inside, and we let it plant and grow, and it grows. Listen, how many know from your lawns, weeds grow fast. They don't need fertilizer or any. They just grow. Boy, we don't want any of that stuff, eh? None of that stuff. We want to strive to be agreeable. Why? Because what we have in common in Christ Jesus is so much bigger than anything else that could ever divide us. Amen? I'm going to stop. I feel this in my heart big because, folks, I've pastored long enough. I know stuff happens in the church. And I know that we're imperfect. But, oh, God, may we just give ourselves to being agreeable in Christ Jesus. Let's stand up. Can we stand up together? And can we fill across the aisle? And let's hold hands. Hold hands with somebody this morning. Hold hands with somebody. Shuffle across. Hold somebody's hand this morning. Hold somebody's hand. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just take this moment just to thank the Lord for what has happened last weekend and this past week? Let's just give him thanks for how he's directed us. Would you do that? We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you. We acknowledge your faithful leading of your people, of your church. We thank you, God, for direction. We thank you for putting it upon the heart of Pastor Roberto. We thank you, Lord, for your call. Oh, the membership have called him through a vote, but more importantly, you, God of heaven, Lord of the church, you've called into this place, into the season. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the hours of prayer, the hours of work with the search committee. We thank you for the whole process, how you have watched over all of it. We rejoice in that, oh God. We rejoice in that today, oh God. And Lord, we just commit ourselves as New Hope Christian Assembly. Those of us who are gathered here today, some who may be watching through live stream, couldn't be here today. Lord, we covenant together to continue to labor side by side for the gospel in Christ's name. And Lord, we take it serious that we will agree together. We will be agreeable in the Lord. We will be on guard and alert for little things. God, it's little things, but we're tired, we're weary, we're stressed, and all of a sudden a little thing becomes a big thing. Lord, we want to be alert to all of this and give no room for the enemy to divide us. But we will be agreeable in the Lord Jesus Christ. And together you're going to lead us forward into your God-preferred future for this place and for this people. So Lord, help us to be so sensitive, so in tune with what you're doing, that anything that would come to hinder it will be all over it. Will not on my watch. Not that this little thing is not going to divide. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. So God, together we might experience that reality that we read about in the book of Acts, where it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit, because we're walking, we're marching, we're trucking together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters in this place. Make us one in Christ Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. There should be some holy hugs, a holy kiss if you're really biblical. Happy Lord's Day. Mums, make sure you get your gift on the way out this morning. Bless you, church. Have a wonderful Lord's Day.